أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على نبينا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Certain Masail which have been asked, and I would like to answer them. One is about i'tikaf. Thank you. I'tikaf, the gentleman or the lady, whoever it is, has written here, what is the meaning of i'tikaf? I'tikaf is a form of ibadat, a form of worship, where a man confines himself, or a woman for that matter, in a mosque for 3 days, does not come out except when absolutely necessary, otherwise passes his time in a mosque. And on the third day of i'tikaf, it is compulsory and obligatory to fast. Now, in the month of Ramadan, where we are fasting already, mu'mineen do i'tikaf in a mosque normally in the last 10 days, because that is how it is reported from the life of our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it will be always, the niyat will be of 3 days, and then 3 days, and then 3 days till completion. But if it is in other days, like other months, then the third day of it you fast. 2 days you do not fast, but you have your meals and everything in the mosque. But the trouble is that it has got to be a mosque. It can't be Imam Bara or Baitul Salat, for example. It has got to be a mosque. Now the questioner is asking that why do Sunnis do it? Perhaps he or she thinks that this is ibadat of Sunni only. But this is also Shia ibadat, it's not only Sunni. When Sunnis do it, when we have a mosque, inshallah ta'ala, we will do it. We don't have a mosque. We have Baitul Salat. We have this place, it is Imam Bargah. Which is what is required is a mosque. When inshallah we get a plot here somewhere, or we convert a place into a mosque, just like we have in Birmingham, or we have in Peterborough, we have a mosque. Then, of course, i'tikaf can be done there. You see? But where there is no mosque, you don't do i'tikaf. And it is for both. It is not only Sunnis, but Shias. You can do it. And I'm given to understand that in Dar es Salaam, for example, we have a mosque, and in the month of Ramadan, people do i'tikaf there. For the last several years, there have been reports that people do it. So i'tikaf is not of any particular firqa. Sunni and Shias do it. And who started it? Of course, the Prophet himself. It is a sunnah. Therefore, there can be no one who started except the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Perhaps the questioner is thinking about Tarawih. Those 20 rakat that they pray together, Ahlul Sunnah, in the mosques, together in Jamaat, after Isha. That Tarawih, of course, we don't have. We have 20 rakats, Mustahab Salat, every night of Ramadan. We have. If anybody wants to know how to keep awake every night in the month of Ramadan, without indulging in ghibah and other nonsensical pleasures, and just pass the whole night in ibadah, there is enough in the books that he won't have even a second of respite. Go on, ibadat after ibadat. One of them is 20 rakat salat every night. But because there is no salatul jama'ah in mustahab namaz, jama'at is only for fard, wajib. Mustahabbi salat do not have namaz jama'ah. Right? So we pray alone, either at home or whenever who comes here, whoever prays alone. It used to be so in the days of the Prophet. It used to be so in the days of Abu Bakr. But history tells us that when Umar entered the mosque and found people praying separately, he said, it looks very bad. Come on, line up. And he lined them up. And he said, start Salat. And that is how Taraweeh starts. We have our 20 rakat, but not in that form, you see. Right. The second question which has been circulating since yesterday is, the people's desire to have one day Eid earlier. Now, according to our calculation, we will be completing 29 days. If Eid falls on Sunday, we will be completing 29 days according to our calculation. And I cannot promise you Eid on 28th day. One day earlier means 28 days. But the question is that how come that Toronto has got it and Houston have seen it, Los Angeles has seen it, Vancouver has seen it. People don't understand that we had forecast that they will see in the month of Sha'ban. We told them in the month of Sha'ban that you will see, we will not see. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now given us an opportunity of living in an age where things can be scientifically determined. When you can forecast the quakes, earthquakes, when you can forecast to a certain extent the earthquakes, and you can exactly and accurately forecast the eclipses, that this will occur, because it is a natural phenomena. Similarly, the moon's sighting is a natural phenomena, and it can be computed. And we can very well know what time is the birth of moon, at what time is moon now visible, what is the angle of moon, and what is the distance, or rather the time lapse, between the sunset and the moon. We take these three things into consideration. How much time between sunset and moonset? One. What angle is of the moon at that time? And what is the age of the moon after having been born? When we take these three things into consideration, we determine that moon will be visible. When visibility is not birth, visibility. When visibility is determined, that is the night, your first night. Sometimes the moon is born early in the morning. It is born, but by the evening, the short days, for example, on that Thursday, moon was 11 hours and 50 minutes old. You could not have seen it by any stretch of imagination. Impossible. Although the time between sunset and moonset was nearly 50 minutes. But you just cannot see. It's not possible to see. And they went to GMT and everywhere, and all of them replied back to say, yes, but you cannot see. It is not visible. For a moon to be able to be sighted, it has got to be 17 hours at least. By the time it reached Toronto, which is 5 hours behind us, it was nearly 17 hours, they saw it. And when they reached New York, they saw it. And when it reached Houston, it was 22 hours, they definitely saw it. And by the time it reached Vancouver, only blind men could not see it. So our forecast was there in advance. But Ayatollah Sistani believes in Ufuk. And Ufuk is one thing in which we cannot share with the West. The Western people can share with the East. And that is the reason why, if you are in taqlid of Ayatollah Al-Khoi, who did not believe in Ufuk, even today if you are still in taqlid of Ayatollah Al-Khoi, rahmatullah alayh, then of course Toronto is enough for you, you can follow. But when we have, most of us, gone to Ayatollah Sistani, Mudadillo, then of course there is an Ufuk, and we cannot follow the West. They can follow us. Now let us look at the East. The more you go, the lesser the moon age. In Iran, 3 hours smaller and lesser. East Africa, 3 hours lesser. There, of course, it was impossible to see the moon. And if anybody from that side today tells us that I have seen the moon, I can just not believe, even if he holds Quran in his hand. To swear. It is impossible. Unless we decide to be fools and close down all the books, and we want to live in the 17th century. But when the days of advancement have come, people come. There are groups of people who I know certain. They come out of the house in those parts of the world, qurbatan ilallah, to say that they have seen the moon which was not there. I have seen. Come on, let's go. Do good job. What good job? Give witness. Ayatollah al-Hakim used to sit there in Najaf collecting the witnesses. All these are here, Hakim's family. Would not accept, even if they came in hundreds, unless someone reliable came. Adil. You see? Then he would say, right, now it is certain. Otherwise, if there is no certitude, he would rise and go home. He tells them, go and fast tomorrow. So now, to have said that 70 people saw there and 5 people saw here, does not make anything out of this also. The moon was definitely not sighted in this part of the world on that day. And therefore, there is no moon, inshallah, on Friday. The moon will be on Saturday, and your Eid and my Eid, Al-Fitr, will be, inshaAllah ta'ala, idha arad al-Rahman, on Sunday, for which I give you advance Mubaraki. Now, what is required is patience. Ghalib said, mujhe kya bura tha marna agar ek baar hota. Now the man is thinking of Eid every night and he's not coming. Maut ka ek din muayyan hai. Neend kyu raat bhar nahi aati? I have changed it. Eid ka ek din muayyan hai. Neend kyu raat bhar nahi aati? It will come. You see, but thinking every night, maybe on Friday, Mullah Sahib is mistaken, maybe it is not possible, unless you want to fast for 28 days only. So, these things which circulate to keep people disturbed all the time, you see. What is happening? What is happening? Nothing is happening. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll come to pray here on Sunday morning, as Mukti will dictate his timing and all that later on. These two things. The third thing which has come to my mind again and again, I have to say about it, and I'm so sorry about it, is that Ayatollah Sistani has said that if you find the deceased mujtahid a'lam, then you must follow the deceased mujtahid. Therefore we must follow Ayatollah Khui. Therefore Ayatollah Khui said there is no ufuk. Therefore Ramadan is everywhere from Friday. Geometry, QED. Yeah. Because Ayatollah Sistani says you must follow the dead mujtahid if he is a'lam, therefore I follow Ayatollah Khui. And because Ayatollah Khui said that there is no need of a book, therefore, Ramadan is everywhere from Friday. Therefore, Eid will be on Friday, QED. Well, what they are actually understanding is, and I have said this, that the meaning of what Ayatollah Sistani Damodillo has said in his book has not been understood by these people. There are three ways of determining who a mujtahid is. One is by your own ilm, which we don't have. Your own ilm. Where you can say that here is an a'lam than the other. Both are mujtahids, but my knowledge tells me that this man is superior to the other. A doctor knows. He knows all the surgeons, for example. But in his mind, he knows who is better than the other. Take any vocation for that matter. People of that vocation, they know who is the better mind. They are all qualified, but who excels? Similarly, in the ulama, they know. We don't follow that criterion at all, because we have no knowledge. So we follow the third category, being guided by those who know, which is Ahl-e Khibra. And when Ahl-e Khibra tell you that we believe that same is this man is a mujtahid, or they give you three, four names, and out of which one gains popularity, and we immediately start following it, for them there is no question of knowing who is a'lam, the dead one or the living one, because that is not our line. There has got to be ihraz, and this ihraz, to become muhraz about it, is not possible unless you have your own ilm. Therefore, you and I, it doesn't apply to us. Why is the one thing which has always been explained, it has been explained so many times, it is being repeated again and again and again to bring in confusion, and I understand this confusion has been again started. Those who read the Risala, they must understand that fiqh is not a joke. Fiqh has got its own meaning. When you interpret it, interpret according to the science and not according to the whims. Yesterday, we had a brief discussion. Unfortunately, I am given to understand that the ladies have their own program, so I am changing my subject now. Because then, the meaning or the purpose for which I do sometimes speak is lost. Unless men will be faithful enough to convey what I have said to the women folk. But you are talking about that jihad, about which the non-Muslims normally always accuse Muslims, that this is a religion of the sword. Not understanding what the meaning of jihad was. I gave one hint yesterday as to how the whole concept begins working in our life. There's another one now, which is again also connected with self. But it has been taken into two extremes. When Buddhism took it, they took it to Nirvana. Nirvana is a total state of desirelessness. When Islam took it, it is not nirvana. That means not going to the extreme case of desirelessness. Man has got to have some desire, but those have got to be legitimate, lawful, human desires and not base desire. There's a difference. If you come with me to India someday, I will take you to some places where you'll find people standing in the sun for the last several years with one hand up and one foot raised. And you'll find the nails growing into curls and curls and curls, you see. And the beard growing uncontrollably. And even the feet up is now nearly dried. If you ask someone, he'll tell you, this man has been standing here for the last 7-8 years like this. Skin and skeleton. Ask him, why are you doing it? He will say, in order to gain the pleasure of my Creator. What has he done? He is accepting the pain against his own nafs for the sake of divine pleasure. Hoping to achieve something, and they do achieve. I don't say they don't. Whoever works hard achieves. I mean, you work hard in any field, you achieve a result. They do achieve. Then you find them working wonders. Suddenly you say, Hindu sadhu came and he did this and he did this. I have seen with my own eyes what I can't even describe here adequately. But I have seen with my own eyes in Banaras a Hindu sadhu do things which you can't explain. But there is a riyava, there is some exercise behind it which he has conducted. As opposed to that, in Islam, there is a riyadha, but not that way that you renounce the world. There is that you have the happiness of earth conjoined with happiness in the heavens. It's a beautiful meaning, Islam. When one of the companions of Imam Ali, salawatullah, salamu alayhi, came to him and reported against his own brother, saying that my brother has renounced the world and he's sitting on the musalla all the time. He has left his family, he has left his home, he has left his wife and children, and he's all the time sitting. And Imam al-Islam said, take me to him. They went, and Imam asked him, what are you doing? He said, I am following you. You eat so much of food, dried, sometimes you go hungry. I have renounced everything. Imam al-Islam said, who understands Islam better, you or the Prophet himself? The Prophet had wives and had children and had business and was a statesman and had the Nubuwwah too. He, all the responsibilities he had, and yet he is, did you understand Islam better? He said, Astaghfirullah, it is he who brought it. But then go back. Bazaar se guzra hoon, kharidar nahi hoon. This is the meaning of it. Bazaar se guzra hoon, kharidar. We have to do all these things to get married, get business, get to work, get to maintain your family, raise the family, have good friends, serve humanity, do all things. At the same time, the only difference is, don't allow the material to be your master, you be the master of the material. That is the meaning. And that is a jihad that has got to be carried out. First, for our own. No. When we do that, it is not an easy job. Nafs tells me to do something. Just now, you heard what he said about the tongue. Allahu Akbar. May Allah save us from the harms of the tongue. It goes like Zulfiqar. A small word can create fire, you see, and sometimes even a well-meaning person can suffer from it. There was one who was known for his silence, Ibn Sakit. Always silent, always. Sometimes silence of the people is also very cumbersome, embarrassing. You sit with your teacher and he's silent. You ask him a question, he answers. Otherwise he's silent. You feel embarrassed. No? But what to do? There is a nature. And there are some who chatterbox. They go on and they're never tired. But Ustad sits there and teaches. Once having taught, he sits silent. He used to teach. In the days of Mutawakkil, he was asked by the king to go and teach his two sons. He taught them and he found them quite brilliant, so he was teaching them. But one day, the father asked him, how do you find my sons? Now the man who never talked, on that day talked. He said, they are doing well. And the king said, don't you think they are better than Hassan and Hussein? Don't you think they are better than Hassan and Hussein? The moment he said that, he said, what? Hassan and Hussein? They are not even equal to Qambar, the slaves of Hassanain. They are not equal to they can't be compared to the slaves of their household. What about Hassan and Hussein? Neither you nor your family can compare them. But the moment he said that, his head was cut. His head was cut. The poet of that time has written in his poetry that the man who always kept quiet was finally cut by his own tongue. You know, one man kept another that my job is finished, I'll give 10 shillings to Stanmore. He did not materialize. So he got very angry. He said, I'll give it to Shaitan. And his another was somehow materialized. Now he was worried, where to find the Shaitan? So he came to a mullah and said, Mullah sahab, I'm facing a problem. What is the problem? He says, I have made another which I must complete. I got to give 10 pounds to a Shaitan. Now where does he live? The mullah doesn't know either. See the what? But mullah was very clever. He said, look, when you find two people fight, the third one who is standing out, bigger. You see, the third one who is standing out, maro, he is doing nothing, he is just putting fuel to the fire. Go and give it to him. For there is no shaitan bigger than him. That maro, is only word, huh? From that two, there will be three, there will be four, there will be five, there will be so many. If you go into the root, you will find only one word, maro. And the man is alive, but he is not there. So I always give an example. I said, there was one fellow who used to sell sweets. We Gujarati, we call him Kandoi. The simple one is Michai Wala. Michai. Selling sweet meat. He was preparing jalebi. And if you know, jalebi is as straight as it can be. When we find a man is very compounded, we tell him, you are as straight as jalebi. And as he was preparing jalebi, one small drop of chashni, that is sugar, which is used, it sprang from there onto the wall. Is it a very important event? Happens every day. A fly came and sat on the drop. Nothing important. Fly always sits on something sweet. That Michai Wala had a very good pet, small cat. Cat was looking around, suddenly a lizard, you know. I don't know, we don't have lizards in England. But in East Africa we used to call them Juskafiri. A lizard came. Lizard came from there, looking at the fly, prepared itself to jump on the fly. Now, this happens every day. Survival of the fittest. And then, the cat saw the lizard ready. While the cat was preparing to jump on the lizard, a police dada, sipoi, with his dog entered to buy jalebi. Now he entered to buy jalebi. Well, he was looking at jalebi, the dog was looking at the cat. Well, just as the cat jumped on the lizard, the dog jumped on the... Now, when the Mathaiwala saw that the cat, the dear pet of his, was wounded by the dog, he took that hot spoon, you know, that big one, and hit on the head of the dog. And the dog died. Because it was very hot. The moment dog died, police dada brought out his own truncheon and hit on the Mithaiwala's head. So Mithaiwala also fainted. And there were so many customers, some for the police, some for Mithaiwala. Within 5-10 minutes, the whole mohalla was fighting. Each one had this no threat. Now, at the end of it, one wise man came like you there. But Thiokuro, what happened, Baba? How it happened? You see, came to you. The people say, don't speak Kachi, so Gujarati. What happened, after all? At the end of it all, it was that small drop of jalebi there. Huh? خشت اول چون نهد معمار تاج تا سریا می رود دیوار تاج. If the first foundation has been laid like that, slant, up to the heavens, the whole wall will go slant. So, when the Prophet said that the... And Imam Zainul Abidin salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, it has been translated into English, therefore it is worth reading. I mean, we cannot say we don't have this in English. Risalatul Huquq. It is by Imam alayhi salam, fourth Imam. It is in English, mawjood. In which Imam alayhi salam explains the duties and the rights of each and every limb of my body, plus my parents, plus everything in the society, and shows how to constrain. Why is it taught? Because this is how one man can have his life according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only one man, then of course the whole society. And from one society then into the whole community. And from community to a nation, it can go on and on and on. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.